Hello, friends. It's us, Tiff
and Sarah,
bringing you Conversations in a Jar, where we pull random topics to get the conversation started.
Do you want to draw?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go.
Okay. Grief. That's gonna be a fun one.
That's been the story of the week.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Been a heavy week for. Well, grief is such a funny thing. You know, it just creeps up on you when you're just trucking along, feeling like you're got it all together, and then it's like, nope.
That was a really good way to...
Thanks, yeah.
Jesus. I'm up!
Yeah.
You know what I think about grief? I don't feel that it, whatever you're grieving has to be dead or gone.
Oh, for sure.
But no one talks about that. They feel like grief is like, oh, the person has to pass on and be 12 feet under. I don't feel that. I think grief is when you are growing and you shed that person that you were and you evolve into something different and kind of mourning that person that you used to be. I went through that. My life is totally different.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm grieving like in the same sense, or if you had a friend and you're no longer friends anymore.
Mm-hmm. You grieve that loss of a friendship.
Yeah. Or you had like a consistent continuing relationship with someone from work. Or your team gets split up at work, or people come and go, depending on how profound that relationship was and what they did for you and how much value they added, when that goes or when that changes. I feel like grief can also be in that sector where it's like, okay, that's no longer a part of my life anymore. That thing that I knew has now shifted and it's different. And I think even subconsciously, we grieve even those moments. And then grief's a motherfucker because you never know. In my opinion, it never goes away.
No. Well, grief never goes away. It's always such a heavy weight. You just get stronger at carrying it, right?
And you don't know when it's gonna show up.
Yeah. Ever. Yeah. And I like what you were saying though about all of the different types of things we can grieve, and those griefs do look different, right? Like a loss of a friendship, whether that's someone passing or moving away or just severing a friendship or a business, you know, like you were saying. And like my son, his best friend moved away, and I just feel like he's had so much loss in his tiny little 7 years so far that it kind of triggered him in like bringing up feelings of a bigger loss we've had in our family, loss of family members and stuff. And I mean, with COVID and we, you know, lost grandparents and we lost pets and we've lost very close friendship, family members for lots of things. And it's just, it's so hard. It's so hard.
COVID.
And it doesn't get easier. We just get better at carrying it.
Yeah, there is that basketball coach that talks about like, this shit never changes. It doesn't get easier. Mm-hmm. You just get better at it.
Yeah.
It's just becoming, the other thing about grief is, it's the emotional aspect. When someone passes on, it's a different grief because it's not tangible anymore, right? It's not like you can't go talk to that person and say, I love you, I miss you.
It's so finite.
It's
final and cut away.
But grieving, okay, like if grieving a friend is, and that's tangible, or a divorce.
Yeah.
Whether you like that motherfucker or not, it's grieving what was once your norm and your comfort, what once was.
And the loss of the life you thought you were going to have, all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I feel like when we talk about grief, and I just lost my grandma, I don't know, I think it's been like a year now, and she passed when I was in the room with her. It just shed so much perspective on what the fuck is important. Like, I know one of our, you know, podcasts, we talked about, you know, cleanliness and what should and shouldn't matter and those types of things.
Yeah.
When I love listening to the Ed Milet podcast, and I had the pleasure of meeting him on more than one occasion. I just want to let the public know that my husband is taller than Ed Milet. And that was one of the hugest highlights of his life. Go team. But when he talks about what he coached this lady named Boss Lee, young woman, beautiful, super spunky, all these things. And she was 34 and she was on this health journey and she's a multimillionaire, right? All on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And had a very strained relationship with her mom, and not to like tell her story, but then she is on this health journey. She's losing weight. She looks great. She's at the peak, right? She's speaking and doing all these things. And then she gets hit with, you have cancer. And you don't, not only do you have cancer, but you are like, it's stage four. You have no time. I think about that all the time. And then when she, I'm going to cry, when she gets on the Ed Milet podcast and she starts talking about, like, he asks her, what is the thing? That's another part of grief that is hard, is when you know you're going to go. We all know, we all know, but we don't know like that.
Yeah.
When someone says,
you've got,
Sarah, you have three weeks. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to Josh, to me, to your boy. Say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
That right there, that is like, that's grief, right? And then to hear another person in that space doing everything they can to stay here, just clawing and clawing, and she's passed. She passed away.
Yeah.
Hearing her words. And if, and Ed Milet was like, what's the one thing being in that seat? And as hard of a seat as that is to grasp, and I don't like when anyone's in it because it's a mental fuck. What would you tell everybody? You know what she said?
Hmm.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
And I really do try.
You gotta let it go.
To repeat it every day. So when we were talking about other things, like put your shoes away, all the plates and all the things aren't organized, it's like, that doesn't fucking matter. But I think it's easy to say being in her space. Yeah, it doesn't. And we let those things really get to us. Did I mess up my lipstick?
No, you're good.
Okay, cool. So grief to me in this stage of my life means so many things. Like, I'm no longer doing this as a job. I'm going to do this. Grief. I have one child. Now I have two.
That reminds me.
Do you know what I mean? It's those things that show up that no one associates with grief. It's not just someone going. It's a loss. It's a loss of an identity. It's a loss of a norm. It's a loss of comfort. Because it's not comfortable to grieve.
No, and I think that it's kind of taboo.
Taboo. Let's talk.
I just feel like there should be a more conversation around grief, because it does show up in so many steps and like developmental stages in our life, right? Mm-hmm. Like when kids are going through, right, going on to a different school, or when they move or something like that, or a friend moves, or different friend groups they're going into, or, you know, and all of those are the little baby moments that is teaching them how to deal with the bigger stuff when they get into life, those finite, that, you know, going to a different school, you can still have a phone call, but you have those stages of grief, right? Mm-hmm. And those are interesting too. I do want to talk about that. But
the stages of life?
Grief. Stages of grief.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And how, and when you think about, if you haven't gone through grief, a big, big grief, you know, and I think that you hear, oh, the five stages of grief, and it's first with you think of that it's, oh, I did this one, check, move on to the next, check, yeah, move on to the next, now I'm done. And it is just not that way at all. You can be bargaining and then go back to denial, and then you can be pissed. You can be so angry. Yeah. And in grief, you are mad at everything, not just what happened, not what you're grieving, because that's not the way your brain works. You're just angry in general. Pain. That's where you are, mm-hmm, you know, and then, and sadness and acceptance and whatever, right? Whatever. I wouldn't need to look it up, but it's not a straight line. It's such a ping pong different pathway.
Yeah.
And
it shows up randomly. I mean, I think the one of the weirdest experiences that I've had with my husband is never being able to meet his mom. And with all of the things that I have gone through in our relationship, blending our family, caring for his girls,
yeah,
the lack of having my mom be a part of that,
yeah,
sometimes I just want a mom.
Yeah. That is a huge part of your life that you have to... I think also when you're...
Like every day.
Yeah. Like you that is something that you have to recognize and work through those stages. And like we said, it doesn't ever... It's not ever going to go away.
Yeah, but his mom passed away and she's like the sweetest woman and touched so many lives. He always says, I swear she brought you to me. And I believe in that, but there's such an energy connection there with people. So when you grieve, you literally, I think that piece of energy falls off. You don't have that connection. I think you do. I do feel that there are people, I feel that people still float around like little angels and spirits. And I talk to the people that I love that are no longer here. And I guess, yeah, like grief shows up like right now, like just wanting to pick up the phone and call my mom and be like, hey mom, Gabby did this today, or she accomplished this, or Vinny did this. We don't talk. That's hard to go through. And she's here.
Right.
So then it plays on that whole, like, she is three exits down from me.
Yeah.
And is not a part of my life.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's really hard. And then you have Greg's mom, whom I've never met, and I want so badly to have met her because she sounds like the exact thing that I would need to, like, have gotten through some of these stages.
Yeah.
In a healthier fashion.
Yeah.
I don't feel like, you know, I don't go to my parents for advice or anything like that. So sometimes I just want a mom. Sometimes I just want a dad, and I don't have that. My dad is passed, so that hurts on a different level. But you can grieve people that are still here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, and just like right now, you don't know when it's going to show up and just hit you right in the heart and just make you, you know, reflect on how hard it is to lose somebody. And it's really hard when they're still here because there's, so you can still do something about it, you know? And well, you hope that they want to do something about it.
I think that, you know, my family lost a very, very close friend, and that kind of put everything into perspective because we lost him in a tragic way very suddenly.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't any of that, like, even a 3-week notice. It was just so, so immediate, and like there was nothing we could do. And then it was like, how, I didn't know how to deal with any of that. And I had already been through grief counseling because I had been through something big before, and I went into, because I wasn't handling it well, and I went into grief counseling, not to be confused with all of the other counselings that are.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, no matter how much help you get, each situation kind of brings up new realizations, new developments,
new emotions, and,
you know, like, and you never can step in the same river twice, right? Because you're not the same person. The river has changed, right?
Yeah.
All of those things is the same with grief. And even when you're kind of working through the same emotional grief thing, mm-hmm. right? You kind of have to work those levels, those stages over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know, and acceptance is a beautiful thing, and still sometimes that anger will come up.
Yeah.
And then you remind yourself, like, okay, and that doesn't serve me anymore to go back to that.
Yeah.
And I'm moving forward. And it still hurts in my heart with the, you know, when I said there's a stigma around it, I feel like it's not talked about, and it shows up in life so much in different stages.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, like, kids in a little way, and then bigger and bigger in life, and hopefully they don't, you know, have a big loss to deal with, you know, to work through until they're more developed and have better tools to make sense of it all. And mm-hmm. and when it does happen when they're little, and you know, they need that extra help, and I that's above my pay grade. You know what I mean? Like, we could read all the books and have all the conversations and pray and do all of those things, but I still find myself not knowing what to do for my little guys that, mm. you know, and even my husband and myself, you know, it can be really tricky.
Yeah, I went through that with Gabby, unfortunately, when my dearest friend Amy, who watched her, passed away.
Yeah.
And I think what's crazy is when you talk to someone on the other line and you hear them every day, you're always checking in with them and talking to them on the weekend and just even in passing, like, hey, I called her, hey Ames, I'm at Costco, this, you know, wagon thing that you want is here, what color do you want, call me back. It was weird that it even went to voicemail. And then I didn't hear from her all weekend. I assumed she was busy. I go to show up to her house to drop Gabby off because that's our norm, right? We don't have to talk. We just know what's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And to see a big letter or please call this phone number on her apartment door with my daughter not being able to get into a house that I just walked into. I was like, what?
And that's how you found out?
And then I called the number. It was her mom's number. And her mom couldn't even talk.
Yeah.
And I knew, and I am pretty sure I dropped to the ground. Gabby was, so it was, three? She would have been three because it was after the dog accident. So the dog accident happens. She goes back with Amy, or she's back with Amy, and then Amy passes away.
Yeah.
And that was the one person that I just never had any jealousy or anything of sharing my time with my kids with.
Mm.
But you are faced with, like, what is my 3-year-old thinking?
Yeah.
And you just have to ask her. The saddest part is this, the Saturday market that happens up the street from here, her mom makes those gnomes that I had for Christmas all up the stairs.
Uh-huh.
Super crafty. And Amy would get crafty, and so would Gabby. And they just had a little life together. To explain to a 3-year-old everything that you know that's your normal everyday, this person is no longer here. She still struggles. Her picture is in her bedroom.
Yeah.
She still has her blanket. We went to the Saturday market, saw her mom. Gabby grabs me and is like, Mom, I can't see her.
Mm.
I can't see her mom because she looks just like her mom. And I can't play with Amy's niece anymore because now she looks just like Amy.
Mm.
I just can't see them anymore. It hurts too much. wasn't expecting that. I thought it would be like, I can't wait to see Grandma Jan. Let me go see her. Oh my gosh. Because she always went over there.
Yeah.
They always, like, they're family. And so Gabby had a little life with Amy and her mom and her family over there, you know, when I'm at work. And we ate lunch every day together when I worked at Windermere. Mm-hmm. And to your point of your friend passing, mm-hmm. you had a life with these people. Mm-hmm. Then that grief of shifting, because they moved away, right?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
was
they
hard.
They moved, yeah, to
and
Texas.
And then passing first. Away. It's just, yeah. we don't have like the brain capacity to deal with this clapping noise. It's like, and this, and now this, and then this. And so mm-hmm. you're never prepared. And you shouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
To be clear, I don't feel no one has wrote a clear book. And for me, it's subjective. Get through it. Grieve in the healthiest way. I don't know why, like, lots of people like to go get out and get fucking drunk and fucked up. It makes it worse. Because it depresses you.
Yeah.
But again, when you are dealing with such an emotional ball, what do you do?
Well, people grieve in so many different ways.
So many
ways.
Different ways.
There
Absolutely.
Isn't, there is not
a right
one
way.
Way to do it. Yeah. There is not. So it really, really looks different for so many people, right? Some people want to dive in and look at all the pictures and remember all of the things. And then some people don't want to at all. Right. And then that can be triggering or whatever. And what I have found with Owen,
yeah.
And with other things that, you know, he's a total empath. He really is. It picks up on all of the energy around him. And, I've had to figure out a way to, in an age appropriate way, give him more information about things and enough for him to satisfy his curiosity and the questions that come up. I have to give him enough information for him to kind of pacify all of those questions that keep building up.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then kids will come up with their own answers, and it's usually much worse than what any kind of truth is. And then as they grow, their brains are growing, their curiosity comes to another level, and you have to give a little bit more information.
Yeah.
And then find that new age appropriate amount of information. And that is in so many things. In grown-up situations, in grief, and in how they're developing, you have to up the ante just a little bit to help them keep working through it, because it, as they keep thinking more and more on it, as it comes up, you know, they want more information. They need more information. Otherwise they're just going to come up with it themselves. They're going to make a meaning of it. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of questions of like, you know, is he an angel and those kinds of mm-hmm. questions? Does he come visit us and that kind of stuff? Now that wasn't, that's where, he's, of course.
Me too. Yeah.
You know, and we'll get more and more involved. And that wasn't the questions a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it was mm-hmm. like when that happened, then it was like, then we had to explain death. Because at that time I realized, we always said, oh, your iPad died. We need to go plug it in. Mm, your iPad died.
Wow.
Yeah, go plug it in.
Children.
Right. And so he's like, oh, you need to plug them back in. Like, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
only that easy.
You can't recharge a human. Right. And so that, and then you have to figure out a way to explain
that. That's a mind shift.
Right.
Right.
So so it's those little state, and then like, so then we get that. So then it's like, so then what, you know? And I'm sure we're going to be growing with all of these new thoughts that are going to come up for him.
I don't know. I wasn't really, if I reflect, given any type of tools like that from my parents that I recall. And it's not a slight on them, it's just I don't recall. When Amy passed away, the only way I could explain it to Gabby is I just said, well, you're no longer going to be able to see Amy.
Yeah.
And she's just like, well, that doesn't work for me. I know. It doesn't work for me either. But then I shifted it to, you love Amy, right? Yeah, so much. Mm-hmm. You love mommy, right? Yeah, so much. How do you know that? How does anybody know that? And she's like, oh, because I tell you. Yeah, but do you know that I love you? If you're all the way across the room, do you know that? Yeah? Okay. It's kind of the same thing. You don't ever have to stop loving. You don't ever have to stop feeling love from that person, for lack of better words. They're a spirit now. It's just not your time of being able to physically touch them and do things with them. Mm-hmm. That's gone. Mm-hmm. And I don't say it's temporarily. No, it's gone. For me, there's nothing more jarring in the world than not telling someone everything, and then when they find out, like, oh my gosh, then it's a huge shock. So I just hit it right away. Like, you are not going to be able to physically touch her anymore. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to physically see her. Mm-hmm. Your relationship with her is here and here now, and that's it. And she was here so you could build that. Mm-hmm. But that's your relationship now.
Yeah.
And it's really, if you want to talk to her picture, hold her blanket, do you want to go stop by a place you used to have lunch so that you can feel in that space, that energy in that moment, and bring back that nostalgia of when you were with her. We can totally do that.
Yeah.
But I do feel for kids, for me, I found that keeping Gabby active with Amy, like, not that she was still here, but slowly phasing that, like, we celebrated her birthday. We got her a little cake.
Yep.
And celebrating that life that you knew that changed you forever. That, to me, that's what I feel is like healthy grieving. I didn't know what to do, Sarah.
Yeah.
That was like, was not expecting that. Because we just expect everyone to be like, you're not promised tomorrow.
And
those moments remind you of that.
Yeah. I don't remember having any big grief moments growing up. I mean, the biggest loss I had growing up as a kid was, honestly, when my grandparents moved to Arizona, because they live next door to us. Mm-hmm. And I would go over and I would have breakfast with my grandma and grandpa every morning before school.
Yeah.
When they moved, that was the hardest thing. And that, I think I was in fifth grade. Mm. So nothing until then, fifth grade. And the hardest part of that was probably seeing my mom so sad. That affected her. And you know, then I had a friend that passed away in high school. And so I think that's what's hard for what I'm going through, I guess, is like seeing my little go through that and not like, it's so unfair. You know, he shouldn't have to go through that right now. He's too young.
Yeah, you want more control.
Yeah.
Can't. I know. You do, but you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, I mean, I have a lot of books and stuff, but honestly, this last week was hard for me, realizing he's going through, you know, again, we're going through a whole nother stage. He just had a birthday. He just turned 7. Yeah. So, you know, it makes sense that we're now like entering in a whole nother stage and like more questions and more feelings around it again. And things have come up and his best friend moving away and, you know, and we're so blessed to have him in such a great school that they're like helping. And cause I don't know, I mean, I can only make sure I'm having like the open conversation with him and he knows he can always talk to me about stuff. And thankfully he does, but I don't know that I always have the right thing to say, which scares me. Cause I want to say the right things to him, but
we all do. But sometimes what we think is the right thing to say isn't. And sometimes not saying anything at all is the best.
Yeah.
And I feel that when you, I'm super close to my kids, just like you are. Yours are younger, but just wait. Wait till they're older and they start asking different questions that are more grown up. And you're like, shit.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do I handle this? And I call it the pulling the Band-Aid method. It's not for shock value. It's just like, I just am not good at like beating around the bush.
Okay, you don't
probably
say.
Probably because I don't have a penis. And I'm talking about a different beat around the bush. I'm talking about, I don't know how to like be, tell Gabby like, well, now, you know, it's God's plan and all that. Cause that's not comforting for her. I saw she wanted like I'm a kid, satisfy me now. Tell me right, give me something now that I can like tangibly.
Yeah.
I got a picture of Amy. We're going to talk to Amy just like this. You're going to tell Amy about your day. You're going to, and Amy's in her room right now. Like the picture of her, she's always with her.
Yeah.
There's comfort in that. We don't always know the right thing to say. We just have to ask the right questions. Where are you at? What do you need?
Yeah.
Owen, and what was going on in your brain? She was three. And we still talk about Amy.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll ever go away. Time helps. Time makes things.
Because you get better
a little blurrier. Yeah. But hearing from her, like, I thought, well, we're going to go to the Saturday market. You're going to see Amy's mom. You're going to be so happy. Amy's mom wants to see you. She's like, I can't. Loves this woman.
Yeah.
Loves this woman to death. I can't, mom. I can't. She looks just like her. I can't. So she still feels that heavy. She still feels the loss.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. And it's so hard to explain to her how old she was. So now Gabby went through a stage. You can ask Greg. She still does it. Where there's just such a fear of losing me. If I have a gray hair in my head, that's she's like, Mom, what is that? Oh, my God. It would blow her day if she saw gray. Or don't say that. Why are you hurting? What's wrong with you? Huge perspective shift, because when you're a kid, you always feel like grandmas and grandpas, they're on their way out, okay? They're about to go play fucking poker with Jesus, okay? Grandmas and grandpas are already there, visually, if they look that way, okay? But like, you know, if J-Lo becomes a grandma, that probably would be a little bit harder on grandkids because she looks so great all the time. But kids think old, on their way to see Jesus. When you're young and you're a parent and you have, and the person that passed away has kids, and then they're comparing like,
right.
Amy was younger than me. Why are you? So you're that telling me this can happen to you?
Yeah.
That was the hardest part about having to tell your kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know that saying where you're not promised tomorrow?
Mm.
I've heard you say it, mommy.
We're not ready for
that. Yeah. You're
not at that age yet.
Yeah, I was for her. I didn't know how to explain it. I didn't have any parents or parental anything telling me what to say to my three-year-old who just lost
the hue and the comfort. I don't think anyone knows what to say.
You don't.
No.
And
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But it is a good conversation to like think about, because at least like what's my base, what's the base I'm gonna say and cover. You should think about that, because then you never know when it's gonna happen, because it's like we just talked to her.
I bought grief books on Amazon. That's what I did.
Mm.
Kid grief books on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the spiritual side of it.
I always go to a book. It's always been my go-to with Owen.
Yeah.
When we lost our dog and he was about three, when that happened.
Mm. Gosh, that's hard.
And yeah, that was really hard.
I cannot talk about dogs
and losing dogs. I got a book and that really, really helped. And now when I have friends that lose dogs, that have kids, I buy everyone that book. And now when we have loss of humans, I have good books for that too.
Yeah.
For kids. So, because they know what to say better than I do. I'm not good with death. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I used to be better at it, but now that my life has a different purpose, I didn't feel I had a purpose before. I never thought about it that way. I never thought about, oh, my life has purpose. I just lived in such a fight or flight that I was just trying to get through the day.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to show up the next day better. And that's literally about how much I thought. So now my life is so different. I have so much to live for that it, no, it just makes things more meaningful. So death is a lot harder for me now because I don't want to go anywhere because then no one would hear a podcast.
And you want everyone to hear our podcast.
Yeah. It's just such a vulnerable topic.
Yeah.
You know, it,
I cried all my tears on Tuesday this week. So on this topic. So
I choose to do it on camera so the whole world can judge me. Judge away.
Yeah.
Just tell me my tears are pretty. That's all I care.
You're gorgeous.
They're gorgeous tears. But I think at the end of, so let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Grief isn't just about death. It's the loss of anything. A shift in your life, in your perspective of things. It's just, it's a change. It's an energy shift that feels heavy. That takes time and space for you to give yourself space and time to work through it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, loss of a friend that moved to another state or a grandmother that's passed away.
Yeah. I was, I told Owen when it hurts so much is when you know that the love was so good.
Yeah. That's a really pretty beautiful actual way of putting it.
You had so much love and the hurt that you have is because it feels right now that that love is gone because the person is gone, but the love isn't gone. We can always feel that love. So, and that helps. And that was like when he was four, that was the 4-year-old conversation.
Grief doesn't feel so big though when you don't give a fuck about the person. When you're like, gosh,
well,
thank
then maybe
God.
It's not grief.
Can
that
I drive you to the morgue?
That
let me drive your ass there.
But something when you, different.
Yeah, but when you love somebody or something, and that's a such a perfect way of putting it, then the grief is much bigger. Much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hole in the heart when they took a piece of your heart when they left. That's that grief. It's that hole in the heart when they, because they take it. That's theirs. That part of my heart was theirs. And when they left, they took that. And that never heals up. It's always going to be there. Yeah. I just get better at feeling it. Carrying.
Yeah. I, on a spiritual, for me, I'm very spiritual, and I feel, you know, just like in our bodies, where all of us are connected, every life form, everything, we all are connected, and when you lose somebody, and you don't have that energy going back and forth all the time, and that's what you're used to, your body loves it, because they love that thing, or that person, or that moment, or that job, or whatever you leave, then it is very much a piece of you that you're putting to rest, you know, like all those, you know, like when we talk about our egos and how certain pieces are of us show up, like the little girl that this happened to, or the older, you know, girl, the 25-year-old or the 14-year-old, all those pieces of us are her, we're all her, they show up differently. I feel that connections with people are like that. And so when they pass on, it's the light's a little dimmer on a physical level.
Have you heard that? There's a scene from Modern Family, and it's when Jay, the like grandpa, the
I've never seen Modern Family. I'm sorry.
Oh, I think I feel like you would love that show. It's really funny. It's a total comedy. But this was a really serious moment. They were like at a restaurant, and Jay stood up and was saying, like, when your kids grow up, you don't realize it yet, but like this baby turns into this toddler, and you just you're gonna miss that baby, but you don't have time to grieve that baby because it turned into a toddler.
Yeah.
And then that toddler turns into a teen, and then sooner, and then all, you know, all in the moment, like then your kid grows up and leaves you, and then all of a sudden you grieve all of those kids. So like empty nesters, not looking forward to that, but that is like you're going to miss all of those kids all at the same time because they all walk out the door right at the same time. And then you miss all of them.
That's been hard with Vinny. I miss my guy.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for him, but that's exactly what it feels like. Because you don't have time. There's not enough time. And I think we say that because we're always moving forward like this. So yeah, you're like, oh, he's not a baby anymore. You think you have all this time, but you don't ever really get into settling in on what it feels like to not have a baby anymore. And now you have a toddler and you just have to love that toddler. Now we're toddlering. And you're right.
They're like
you forget
kid.
All of that. Yeah.
With like a scraped knee, and then they're a teenager with all the attitude, and then they're like a young adult and out your house.
Yeah. Minnie was such an awesome kid. Like, I just feel really lucky about that. And another part of grief, and I know we're supposed to wrap this up, but it's like, even like, I used to be a much bigger girl, and I functioned differently, and I looked differently, and, you know, then you get smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Your body looks different.
Mm-hmm.
You're different. You feel different. You act different. You do different things because you can. You don't have a gunt in the way stopping you from tying your shoes. You can run now.
Yeah.
And that's a huge shift of like, whoa, you know, I can breathe now. I'm not like checking the mailbox, sweating, feeling like I'm going to have a heart attack. I can now run to the mailbox and my body feels different. So grief, this is a great topic because it's not just dead people.
No, there's lots of
levels, lots of different levels. And they all kind of feel the same when you think about it. They all have a little bit of the same ick, for lack of better words, to them.
The ick.
That feels so consistent when you feel that in your body.
Yeah.
Well, there's grief, folks.
That's grief.
Look,
that was a heavy one.
Heavy.
Okay.
That's it. We need you guys to
subscribe.
Subscribe your asses off. Okay.
It helps get our page noticed and get us
updates.
More followers.
Then you know about updates.
Right. So make sure you subscribe so you get notifications every time a new episode launches.
And when a new episode launches, Sarah's going to make out with you. What? That's a win. That's how we get more subscribers. I whore you
that
out.
That is not how we get more subscribers.
I know. Josh is going to be so mad at me. My bad.